Well, today it's my privilege to introduce to you our new associate pastor. He just left. I like saying that. Isn't that good? New. He's not new to our church. He used to be our youth pastors for the last 4 to 5 years, and now they are stepping into new roles. Over this last month, been transitioning out of youth ministry into the associate pastor roles, and I'm excited today. You're going to be hearing him speaking a little bit more than he usually has, as he's going to step into more of an associate role, helping me out, and also teaching even maybe once every series, having a chance to come in as well and speak what God's speaking to him. And so I'm excited to have him speak today. Welcome him today as he comes. Pastor Matt, come. Bring us the word of the Lord. Yes.
This morning we're going to close our series that Pastor Dean has been preaching on for the last couple months about I Love Your Word. How many of you guys have enjoyed this series over the last couple months? How many of you guys have stuck to your 60-day challenge of reading 3 chapters a day? Done pretty good. You didn't have to do it every day, but it's been a step in the right direction. I feel like it's been an important thing for our church body to do this today. And so this morning what I'd like to speak to you about is the sword of the Spirit. And so if you guys all have your swords, how many of you guys brought your Bibles this morning? Let me see them. Buddy doing pretty good there. I talked to Crystal. I almost didn't put scriptures up on the slides this week just to see, but I did. So Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 13 to 17. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, stick with me for just a moment here. One of my favorite movies growing up was Karate Kid. And the original version, you know, with Ralph Macchio, not the new one. Ralph Macchio will always be the one and only Karate Kid. All right? I don't care who the other kid's dad is. But I loved that movie growing up. I loved watching kind of his transformation through the movie as he grew. You know, he starts off and they move to this new area and he thinks he's got it under control. He knows this karate stuff and he had some lessons back where they lived before. And so he thinks he's all big and bad. He finds out real quick that he really doesn't know much of anything. He gets beat up pretty good. And enter Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi's like, just comes out of nowhere. He's this janitor, and he shows up, and he agrees to train Daniel, who's this kid, and he calls him Daniel-san all the way through the movie. But there's just one condition. It's that Daniel has to do whatever Mr. Miyagi tells him, no matter if it makes sense or not. And so Mr. Miyagi has Daniel doing all these weird things. You remember, like, the wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off. And the paint, you got to paint like this and get your arm just right. It's all on the wrist. He has him doing all these weird things that Daniel's like, okay, I don't know what any of this means. But unknowingly, what's happening is Daniel is beginning to learn the basics, you know, the basics, basic moves. And you find out later as he's fighting, you know, wax on, wax off, is blocking and all this different stuff. And he's learning all this stuff, the very basics of karate. Over the last month and a half as a church body, I believe we've been learning the basics of the word. We've been challenged to read 3 chapters every day for 60 days. And for some of you, this may be the most you've ever read the Bible on a consistent basis. For others, it may be something you were kind of doing off and on already. Some of you have already been doing this for a long time. And Ephesians 6 tells us right there in that last scripture that the word of God, the Bible, is a sword. And in order to be able to use any weapon effectively, you have to know how to use it, and you have to know it. You have to know the basics of it. One of the things in boot camp that, as I've talked to different people who have gone into the military, one of the first things they have you do is they have you get your rifle, and you take your rifle, and what do you have to do? You have to take it completely apart, clean every piece and every little mechanism, and then put it all back together. You have to be able to do that really quickly and really effectively before they will ever let you loose out on the field with that rifle. You can't ever shoot it unless you know everything about this weapon. You have to know it inside and out. For us, too, the first thing we have to do as Christians is we have to know our weapon. You have to know your weapon. If you don't know your weapon, and you're out there in combat, and you're with a gun, and you don't know how to shoot it, and you don't know what to do with it, you're more likely going to hurt yourself than you are your enemy. You're going to stand out there, and you're going to have your gun out here, and it's going to shoot and hit you in the chest and bruise you all up, and you're not going to be any good. You're not going to know your weapon. You're not going to be any good. And so as Christians, you have to know your weapon. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. God, you guys all know the story. God has created Adam and Eve, and he's put them in the Garden of Eden. And there's this one tree in the middle of the garden that he tells Adam, you cannot eat the fruit of this tree. And so Eve one day is walking through the garden, and this is where it picks up. Now the serpent was the shrewdest of all the creatures the Lord God had made. Now the serpent, the Bible tells us later on, is really the devil. This is Satan coming against Eve and coming against this new creation that God has made. And this is what the devil does. Really? He asked the woman. Did God really say you must not eat any of the fruit in the garden? Now, go ahead and go back to that real quick if you can. You cannot eat any of the fruit in the garden. See, what Satan's doing is he's testing Eve's knowledge of the word. Satan knew that Eve wasn't there when God told Adam, this is what you can and can't do. Satan knew that she didn't have it first knowledge, and so he went to Eve to test her knowledge of the word of God. Go ahead, go to that next slide. And this is what Eve replies. Of course we may eat it, the woman told him. It's only the fruit from the tree at the center of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. She got it. You know, pretty good. She knew that. But here's what she says. God says we must not eat it or even touch it, or we will die. God didn't say that. God said you can't eat it. He didn't say anything about touching it. Now, it's probably smart if you're not going to eat it to not be out there like, ooh, this feels really good. But she added that herself. That wasn't what God said. So Eve was mixed up. She didn't know the word of God the way that she should know the word of God. Now, whether that was Adam's fault for not relaying it correctly or what, but she did not know the word of God the way she was supposed to. And you won't die, the serpent hissed. God knows that your eyes will be opened when you eat it. You will become just like God, knowing everything, both good and evil. And so Satan sees his opening, he sees the weakness, and he pounces on it. Satan's plan of attack was to test her on how well she knew the word of God. Let me tell you something. Satan's plan of attack hasn't changed much over the millennia. Satan's plan of attack is still to come in and try to needle in and try to find the weakness in your armor, to try to find your weak spot, testing whether you really know the word of God or not. And she almost got it right, but the serpent knew that she was not sure. You see, Satan knows the word of God better than most Christians do. And he will take it and twist it and use it to destroy God's plan for your life. If you don't know the Bible, if you don't know when somebody comes to you and starts to say things, well, did you know this was in the Bible? And it may not sound quite right, but because you haven't spent time in the Bible and you don't know what's really in here, it can mess you up. If you don't know your word, if you don't spend time with it daily, you are allowing yourself to fall into the trap that Satan has laid before you. You wouldn't go into a battle with a rifle that you didn't know how to shoot. So why do Christians walk around all the time with a sword that they have no idea how to use? See, Jesus understood the power of the word. We've talked about this, where in the temptation, when Satan comes and he begins to tempt Jesus after the 40 days of fasting, that Jesus' only response to Satan was the word. It was the word of God. He responded with scripture. He knew how to use the sword for defense, to block the blows that Satan tried to throw at him. He knew how to attack his enemy with the sword. And so the question is, how well do you know your weapon? Do you spend time in it daily? When this challenge ends after 60 days, are you going to continue on studying your word daily? Do you know it inside and out like a good soldier should know his weapon? Okay, so back to the Karate Kid. One of the best scenes in Karate Kid is where he's out on the beach and he's by himself and he's standing on a stump. How many of you guys my age, right around my age, have ever done that? Get up on a stump or something and do this move right here and just see if you can do it. I've done it. Pastor Gene, I know you've done it. It's just something about it. It's like this cool scene, and he's practicing this crane kick or whatever it's called, and he's beginning to understand the basics of this art form, and he's beginning to realize that in order for me to really be successful as in karate, I have to know how to control my body, and my body has to work in unison in order to do what I want it to do. He was figuring out how his entire body was connecting and working together in order to perform this one move. In the same way, the body must work in unity as Christians. John 18, verses 10 to 11. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas comes with all the soldiers, and they come to arrest Jesus, and this is what happens. Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your swords back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup the Father has given me?" Okay, Peter was a fisherman, right? You guys all know that. He was out there fishing and throwing nets. He was not a swordsman, right? Peter had probably had a little bit of training. He had a sword, so he probably knew a little bit of how to use it. But I don't think Peter, from reading scriptures and seeing just Peter's kind of overall attitude, I don't think Peter was trying to slash off Malchus's ear. He was probably trying to slash his head off. But Peter wasn't a swordsman. He didn't know how to use his sword the way a real swordsman should know how to do it. And so he's probably standing there, and I can see him kind of hide and trying to get it out all quietly. And he's looking, and he pulls it out, just goes like that, and just slashes. And he misses, and he just strikes his glancing blow on Malchus. All right, he didn't know exactly what he was doing. His body, he didn't have his feet set. He didn't have his arms in the right place. He didn't have the right motion and that sort of stuff. He just lunged and just lands, just kind of nicks this guy. Well, he does more than nick it. He takes off his ear. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that the church is a body. And the body is made up of many different parts. And each part has its own unique purpose and its own task to complete, no matter what the entire body is doing. You see, now, I've not really played with swords. When I was a kid, I played with, like, the little plastic lightsabers, you know, and doing that. But when you watch, like, these movies and you watch these swordsmen and people that are fencing, there's something about it's their whole body when they're fighting. Their feet have to line up just right. Their legs have to line up just right so they can have the balance. The power doesn't come just from doing this. The power comes from the thighs and the abdomen and the shoulder, and his whole body is moving in one unison and going together, working together to perform the task that he wants it to do. You see, just as Peter was not able to unify his entire body in his attack on Malchus, Christians are not unified in their attack on the enemy. Like I said, a strike starts with your feet and legs, and it goes up through your entire body. See, Christians have not been unified in their use of the sword. Christians have not been unified in their attack of the devil and of the enemy using the Bible. You see, let me tell you something. If every Christian really lived out what this Bible said and really lived the way we were told to live in the Bible, it would completely change how the world views Christianity and what we do. We could strike blows to the enemy that would be impossible to recover from. But instead, we're standing there just whipping the sword around every once in a while, and we're not together, and we're not moving, and we're not all doing what we're supposed to be doing. See, if we all gave the way we are commanded to give in these scriptures, there'd be no need for Social Security or welfare. The church would be able to take care of the poor and the needy the way that we're commanded to take care of the poor and the needy. And let me tell you something, we could do a whole lot better of a job than the government can. If husbands really loved their wives the way Christ loved the church, you know the divorce rate for Christians is actually higher than the divorce rate for non-Christians now? What does that say about the way Christian men are loving their wives? It doesn't speak very strongly for the body of Christ. But if we loved our wives the way God commands us to love our wives in His Word, the divorce rate would drop dramatically. If we would actually take up our cross daily and walk with the cross that Jesus had called us to bear, and we actually walked and followed in the footsteps of our Savior, what kind of difference could you make in your job? What kind of difference could you make in your family? What kind of difference could you make in your Jerusalem if you really followed what this word tells you to do? You see, it's time for us to quit throwing blind punches. It's time for us to come together in unity as the body of Christ and put to use the sword of the Spirit to deliver crushing blows to the enemy. Because let me tell you something, the scripture said in Ephesians, he's doing everything he possibly can to kill us. He's doing everything he possibly can to attack us, to shoot us with fiery arrows, to kill us. He wants to destroy you. And so many of us as Christians just say, yeah, I'm all right. And all we're doing is we have the defense up. We have the helmet and we have the shield and we're just hiding and we're just cowering and we're just trying to dodge the arrows. But God has given us a sword. See, the sword isn't just defensive. The sword is an offensive weapon. And it's time we start using it as a body of Christ. So go forward to the very end of Karate Kid. All right, back to Karate Kid, the important stuff here. And they're at the end, and it's the match, Daniel against his arch enemy, the blonde kid. I don't know his name. And there's this whole scene, it's awesome, and you know, there's the guy over there, sweep the leg, and then Mr. Miyagi comes with his magic hands, and he lays it on there. If you haven't seen the movie, you need to rent the movie. It's great. And it's just this whole thing, and Daniel's son, he's triumphant. And he finally became the master that he thought he was at the beginning of the movie, and he becomes this master of karate, and he wins, and it's this huge scene and all this stuff, and it's just great. He mastered his art. See, in the hands of a master, the sword of the Spirit is a very powerful weapon. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Now, as somebody who plays guitar, I love watching masterful guitarists. You know, people like Eric Clapton and B.B. King and all these people. Jimmy Page is another one. I just love watching them play, and I love watching and see the things that they can do with that guitar. And Crystal, we rented a movie, a documentary about these guitarists, and I just sat there. I was like, wow, these guys are awesome. I can't believe they're doing that with the same instrument that I have. I'm like, I can't make my instrument do that. But they're masters. They spent time practicing hours and hours and hours practicing and playing around with that guitar and trying to just push its limits to see what it can and can't do. And it's amazing to me to watch somebody like that. Master swordsman is the same way. You watch these guys in the Olympics fencing and just the moves that they do and the amazing little flick of the wrist, and you know, they can do all these amazing things. See, a swordsman, somebody who really knows how to use it, can deliver both life and death on a battlefield. A sharp sword you could use if somebody was injured to cut off a foot or a leg that was infected that was going to kill you if you didn't get it taken off. A master swordsman can deliver both life and death. A sharp sword, there's many versions that don't say a double-edged sword. They'll even say a scalpel. A sharp sword can be used the same way a doctor uses a scalpel to perform surgery. See, someone who knows their Bible and has studied it and realizes how to work with it can deliver life to those who need it. See, if there's one thing that I believe the church as a whole needs, it's new life. See, for too long, the church has walked around like a bunch of zombies with no direction, no ambition, nothing to guide them. The word of God can infuse new life into a dead body. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. That same, follow me with here for a minute. The sword of the Spirit, Ephesians said, is the word of God. The word of God is what created the entire universe. When you go back to Genesis 1, it says that God spoke and the earth was created. God spoke and plants and trees sprang up. God spoke and all of these wonderful things happened. It's the same. It's the Word of God. You go to John chapter 1 and it says that the Word of God is identified by the Apostle John as our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so you take into account all the power that Jesus had, all the miracles that he did, raising people from the dead, healing people that were blind and sick and lame, and all the amazing miracles that Jesus did as the embodiment of the Word of God. Do you know what that means? That means that with this sword right here, with this Word of God, we have that same kind of power. If we will study our Word and we will live what is in this Word, then we have the same power that spoke the universe into creation. We have the same power through the Word of God to heal those who are sick. We have the same power as the Word of God to cast out demons. Do you really understand the power that your sword carries? It's the power to deliver life to those that are dying. Has the power to bring healing to those who are hurt and sick. It has the same power that Christ exhibited on a daily basis while he walked the earth. You see, I didn't put it up there, but if you can go back to that first slide with Ephesians chapter 6 on it. Ephesians 6 is very clear that we are in a battle. It's very clear that we are in the midst of a war. And Paul is trying to encourage us and trying to prepare us for that battle, that we would use every piece of God's armor to resist. And this power of the sword is our most powerful weapon in this war. The sword of the Spirit is a weapon. Do you know how to use it? Do you really know what to do with this thing? Or is it just, okay, I got to get my 3 chapters in today. Let's see. Jeremiah 49. Okay, I'm going to read 3 chapters starting Jeremiah 49. You need to get into your Word. You need to stay in your Word. You need to know it inside and out. Because let me tell you, Satan is going to attack you. And if he hasn't started attacking you already during these last 60 days, he will. Do you know your Word well enough to defend what you need to defend? Do you know your Word well enough to block the shots that he's throwing at you? Do you know your Word well enough to deliver blows, and not just glancing blows, but deathly blows? This Word is powerful. If we as Christians really lived what this Word said, and let me tell you something, I'm as guilty of it as the next person. I read my Bible sometimes and just the Holy Spirit convicts me. And I think, God, what are we missing? We're in a battle. We're in a war with the enemy. We're not at war with physical beings, like the Bible says, but we're at war with the powers of darkness. And for too long, Christianity has just been defensive. For too long, we've just been holding up our shield. We've been hiding behind our helmet, and we're giving up ground. Every time Satan strikes at us, we take a step back. You don't want prayer in school? It might be offensive. Okay. You think it's okay to kill unborn babies? Okay. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to be offensive. The Word of God is truth, and the truth is offensive to those who are living in sin. You need to use the sword of the Spirit to attack your enemy. Ted, if you'd come to the piano, we're going to close. If you would all bow your heads with me this morning. God, I come to you this morning. I thank you for your amazing presence that has been here this morning, God, as we worshiped you. God, that we could feel your Spirit so strong. God, I thank you that in the midst of a war, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of everything going on around us, God, that you can come and you can wrap your arms around us and tell us, just be still and know that I am in control. And God, there's times when we just need that encouragement. But God, there's times as Christians when we need to stand firm, as Paul told us in Ephesians. To stand our ground, that even when the enemy attacks us, even when he throws everything he possibly can at us, that we would still stand firm and stand our ground. God, you have called us to be strong and courageous. God, not weak. For too long, Christians have been viewed as weaklings. God tells us to be strong. He tells us to stand our ground and to stand firm. Maybe this morning, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you haven't wanted to become a Christian because you've always thought Christians were weak-minded. Weak people that needed a crutch. Let me tell you something. Nothing could be farther from the truth. You look at our Savior and how strong he was mentally and physically and spiritually and emotionally. That's who we are supposed to be. So this morning, before we go any further, if you're here and you want to say, you know what, I'm not a Christian. I haven't lived a Christian life. And I want to take this opportunity to allow Jesus to come in and take control of my life. If that's you this morning and you want to give your life to God, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody at all, I don't want to pass this chance up. Anyone at all? As Christians, we need to be battle ready. And so this morning, as we close out this series, if you're ready and you're willing to get into that battle, if you're willing to stop just throwing defensive punches and just throwing these swords that aren't landing anywhere, if you're ready to really be the soldier that God has called you to be, I'd like you to stand. We are an army. We are a body of Christ that needs to work in unity to attack our enemy. So I'll bow our heads and I'd like to say a prayer for you, and then Pastor Gene's going to come up and kind of close out the series for us. God, right now I pray over this church body. God, for all of these that are standing here today, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon them in a new and fresh way, God. God, that they would walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. God, that they would be strong and courageous, that they would stand their ground and stand firm, even when Satan comes against them in every way that he knows how. God, that our feet would be planted in your word, God. God, that we would be ready to attack our enemy, that we would not just stand back and be... God, just be content to just be defensive. God, that these that are here this morning, God, that they would continue to have a hunger and a thirst for your word. That these who have stood up this morning, that you would just put a longing and a desire in their hearts and in their being for more and more of you and what you have. God, that they would know their sword backwards and forwards, inside and out. God, that they would know how to use that sword to attack the enemy when he comes against them. And God, that as we leave this building here this morning, that we do not leave as weaklings, that we do not leave as people who are scared of what is coming against us, but that we would leave in the power of your word, that we would leave with swords in our hands, ready to attack the enemy. And God, that we would strike blows to the enemy in this community. No longer is the enemy going to rule our area. We are on the offensive. Satan, beware. We are on the offensive now. We are coming against you in the power of God. God, give them strength. Give them courage. Give them a thirst and a hunger for you, more of you than they've ever had before, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Pastor Gene.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Matt. How many received that word today? Say amen. Have you received that word from the Lord? Yes, amen. Thank you, Rick. Great job. Today, as Pastor Matt was saying, we're closing out this part of the series, and we've been talking about the Word of God is what? It is a daily bread. It's my daily bread. It is my water, the water of life. It is the breath from heaven. We know we can't live very long without food, without water. We can't live very long without air, can we? The breath of heaven. We talked about how the Word of God brings spiritual sight, how it brings a freshness, seeing things differently, a spiritual sight that God brings to us. We talked about the power of meditating on the Word of the Lord last week. Talking about how the Word of the Lord is what? A light unto our path, that we are to turn the light on to the darkness. And today we talked about the weapon, the sword of the Spirit, how it is an offensive tool that God has given to us. And as Pastor Matt said, how many know that if I'm going to go into battle, I'm not going to go into battle with a butter knife if I know somebody else is bringing a sword? You know what I'm talking about? We're going to go to battle with everything that God has given us. And as Christians maturing, we are learning that God has got so much more for us if we'll just be obedient and tap into everything He's given to us. He's given us everything we need to know. He's given us every direction. He's given us the answers, the things we need to know, that the roadmap is there, that the tools are there, but we have to tap into that and learn to apply it to our life. And so, how many's been reading off and on, maybe, but how many's been reading three chapters today? You've been reading three chapters today? I got good news for you. How many know that after 30 days, something becomes what? Habit. That's right. It tells after 30 days, if you can do something every day, it becomes habit. And so our prayer has been that over these last 60 days, that reading three chapters a day will become habit to you. You say, Pastor, what's important about three chapters a day? Do you realize if you read 3.5 chapters a day, that you can more than read through the Word of the Lord in 1 year? Do you realize that you've been on pace to read the whole Bible in 1 year? That's the pace you've been setting. So if you're just keeping that up, man, you're putting the Word of the Lord into your life. Now, listen, you're going to have days where you mess up and you say, man, I just didn't get it in today. I got squeezed out. And you're going to have to organize. You got to prioritize to put that thing there. So put it in a place where you are going to be able to read it. Now, I'm not going to tell you where that place may be that you go every day to read this Word of the Lord. Maybe some of you may be the kitchen table. Some of you may be a small room in your house. I don't know where it is, but put a Bible places wherever you're at that you can read the Word of the Lord. Okay? When you got 5 kids, you got to be creative. All right. So, you get what I'm talking about today. We've got to be smart, and we've got to learn to put that in. Now, let's think about it today. If we can read the Word of the Lord, putting that in, we're going to become better at everything He's asked us to do. We're going to know His will. We're going to see clearly. We're going to treat people better. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to come alive in our life. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit what, to breathe in us. And so I am praying that we are taking another step in this bridge. How many remember the series, The Journey, that we started at the very first of the year? We talked about the journey. That everyone in this room, we are on a journey. We're at a place. We're either searching out God. We're either beginning in Christ, getting to know Him, and then becoming God-centered people. And that every one of us are on a journey, and that journey, it's okay if you're not where somebody else is, but what the question is, are you going forward? Are you going forward on your journey? And in that journey, we talked about the bridges that we get to the next step, that becoming a Christian into a person who knows Christ is the step of what? Of knowing grace to the fullest. And so we've talked about grace, consumed by grace. Remember that study we did this a while back on the summer on grace and how consuming that was and how we crossing that bridge of understanding God's grace in our life. We just crossed the second bridge on what? On the Word of the Lord. Getting that foundation of God's Word will allow you to become a person who is knowing God, who is becoming a solid believer. Now, the next step is the person who becomes what? A God-centered person. And that's our heart's desire, that we all be pushed to a person who becomes a God-centered person. And we're going to kick that series off next week, okay? Same bat time, same bat channel. Next week, we're going to be here, and we're going to do it. This is what I'm asking, that God will allow this series to cement in your heart a pattern of growth it'll go beyond. So I want you to raise your hands one more time where you're at. I want to close you out today. Father, I just thank you, Lord, as we lift our hands up. I just pray that your word becomes a light to our path. Lord, that it becomes, Lord, a consuming fire in our heart. Lord, your word says you are a consuming fire, even like a fire shut up in our bones. So, Father, we know today that, Lord, your word brings that life into us. Your word brings, Lord, revelation, obedience, transformation. It brings things in our heart, Lord, that are being suppressed and we're allowing to come out and be dealt with. It brings correction, instruction, guidance. When we meditate on the word of the Lord, it brings a peace, forgiveness. It brings restoration. God, your word is life. Your word is truth. And where the truth is, God, there is freedom for those who walk in the truth of your word. So I pray to God through the power of this series, God, that we meditate upon your word every day. Eat of your bread every day. Drink of the fountain every day. Receive the breath of the Lord every day in our heart. That God, we don't want to be the same. We don't want to be people who are just casual Christians. But God, we want to be people who are burning with a passion, God, to know you more, to do the will of the Father, to be the church, so God, that you called us to be. And Father, it comes to me knowing or a solid foundation of what your word is and what its meaning is in my life and the weapon that you've given to me. And Father, we thank you today for this powerful word. God, we apply it to this whole series, everything you've been speaking to us. And God, we're going to leave here today, Lord, knowing that, God, that your word should be a priority in our life every day as it speaks to us, as it ministers to us. And God, we say yes to that. We commit to that, not only through 60 days, but God, from this day forward, we want to be people who eat of your daily bread every day. Father, I thank you, Lord, as you're growing us, Lord, along our journey. And we say together, amen, amen. God bless you today. Turn around and just give someone a high five and say, man, it was good to be in church with you today. You guys have a great holiday weekend.